Hallelujah. We've been the air, if you can see me. Let's give a big hand clap to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Again, like Deacon Beth shared with us earlier, we appreciate the worship team, the guys on the equipment. God bless you. The guys on camera, those upstairs, the ushers, security team, and all the people who serve us. Let's give a hand to the Lord and appreciate all of them. Pastor Ambrose, this part, I wish you were the one who was here to say, God is, you're looking good, eh? You're looking good, better than?
Yesterday.
And tomorrow? And do what else? Meta, meta, and then?
Sparkle,
sparkle, where? Shiny, shiny, and wear shades. A hand clap to the Lord. This is... We are a family church, and we care for one another. We appreciate all of us who are here. Right now, I'd like us to turn to Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 8. This is what it says. Sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. The Bible goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, there will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Father, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate the fact that we can gather around your word and that we can listen to what you have to say to us, this being the month of February, the month of empowered seed. And Lord, we thank you that you have a word for us today. And we pray that you may bless us, those who are here, those who are in the pavilion, those who are following online here in Africa, Kenya, Africa, and around the world, that you may bless all of us as we sit around the warmth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say,
amen.
Amen. We may have our seats. Again, like Deacon Bet, you pointed out, we have guests. We have many guests today and we appreciate them. The pastors from Kuyua Baptist Association, they are here doing benchmarking, and therefore we welcome you, really appreciate you. Congregation, let's give another hand to the Lord, appreciating this team. We do also have the team from World Relief. They are our partners in missions, and we are serving together among the Turkana. The team here is the mobilization team, and Oliver, it's good to see you, plus the rest of the team. We have the Kenya office, and we have the U.S. office. We also have our missions pastor who is hosting them, and they are our guests. Let's give a hand also again for them. Our friend, Ambassador of the Republic of Zimbabwe, and also the permanent representative to UNEP and UN Habitat here in Kenya, Winpeg Moyo. Her Excellency, let me put it right. Her Excellency, Winpeg Moyo, you're very happy that you also are with us. And when you travel back or when you call your president, say Parklands Baptist Church says hi to you. And actually invite him. Let him come over. We'd like to host him here in this church. I hope that message gets the president of Zimbabwe. Asante sana. Thank you. Welcome. The title of the message is Empowered Seed. The empowered seed of love. The empowered seed of love. Those of us who are joining for the first time, this is the month where we are focusing on empowered seed. Pastor Ambrose has introduced it last Sunday, and I'm picking it from there. The empowered seed of love. And the text is the one I just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 8. And for our reflection, I will emphasize three things. Embrace the seed of love, sow the seed of love, water the seed of love. In short, embrace it, sow it, and water it. Embrace it. The letter Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he writes it because this is one church that has not embraced this seed, empowered seed of love. They had all kinds of gifts, but they had a shortfall or a deficit, or there was a gap in the area of love. And so they gathered on a Sunday, like we do gather, and they did express themselves in different ways. But the love was just very, very shallow. The relationships among them were going south. In fact, the church at Corinth had so many court cases. If you read the text, you see Paul saying, why do you take one another to court? They had the whole problem of competition instead of complimenting one another. And that is why in the chapter before, he writes something about the body of Christ. Chapter 12 before chapter 13, he's talking about diversity in unity. And they had a problem because instead of using their gifts to build one another, like Peter would exhort us, they used them to bash one another and to step on one another and even to compete, including the gift of tongues among other gifts. And so he is writing 1 Corinthians 13 to level the ground and just bring everything where it needs. But all parts form one body. The hand has its place, the leg has its place, the ear has its place, the eye has its place, the brain, some things we don't see, and they are very important, their insight. They also have their place, and there's a lot of things going on right now in your body, and they are all well coordinated. It's a perfect, wonderful machine. And so Paul is addressing this church and he's saying the church ought to be that kind of body, a perfect working kind of machine. And everyone is gifted. That's the teaching of the Bible. According to 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit grants a gift to every person and every gift is needed. Not only is everyone gifted, every gift is needed. And therefore, an environment where every gift, rather, it should completely flower. And therefore, the body of Christ or the church should epitomize love because that is what creates the environment that allows every gift to grow and thrive and become everything that it should be. And so, Paul is talking about the empowered seed of love. He's the apostle of love. He himself is a beneficiary of love. He's a beneficiary of unconditional love. And so when he's writing what he writes in that particular text, he's waxing, eloquent. It is one of the best texts ever written anywhere on love. Excellent text. And he's doing so because it's like he's worshiping. He's just looking at God and reflecting on God's love for him. And as he's looking at God and his love for him, he begins to write to the church at Corinth and to say, this is how love should look like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Embrace it. So it is not just simply an exhibit in a museum. Love is to be embraced. Embraced in family, embraced at the workplace, embraced in government. Possible, it is possible, it is possible. Love is possible anywhere, anytime, everywhere. And there is no place that is exempt or that cannot be reached because Jesus demonstrated it by coming, by dying. He was buried, he rose from the dead, and he came from the realm of God to the realm of man to demonstrate that love can actually, reach everywhere. So it is to be embraced. And this church had not embraced love. Love is something we all need. And everyone needs love. Everybody here, their cup of love needs to be filled as by somebody somewhere. And we also should be filling the cup of love for somebody else. In fact, many of the problems that we have in the world today are there, including sicknesses, are there because love has not been embraced. So embracing love is a decision. It is a choice. And I pray that today this service becomes the I love you service. You know, a service, the I love you service. Hallelujah. Is that possible everywhere? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, I love you? We see that it's possible everywhere. Upstairs, downstairs, in the pavilion. And also, those of us who are at home, try it. If you don't have somebody near you, point to yourself. And you say, I love you. Go to the mirror, actually. If you have a small mirror, you can put it next to you. And you just point and you say, I love this guy. I love this lady. It is really wonderful. This is the I love you service. And so we embrace it. And embrace it because it is an imperative. It's a biblical imperative. It is a covenant requirement. It's a I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you. By this all men will know, and all women in the world will know, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You can see how evangelistic, you know, and how influential love can be. And so Jesus says, love one another. So the church's instruction, primary instruction, is to love. In fact, our whole mission is encapsulated in love. Love carries the full menu of what God wants us to release all over the world. Simply love. In your family, love. At your workplace, love. You know, when you are in the bus or you're driving and you're in the company of people, just simply love and keep loving them. That is the command God gives us. Love one another. God is love. You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says God is love. And because God is love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, because God is love, therefore we need to embrace love. We need to love one another. Jesus decided, he made a choice, because Jesus embraced love, to go through a route through Samaria, instead of using the route the Jews would use just to avoid Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritan had a conflict for a very long time. Ancient difference and hostility between the Jews and the Samaritan. And this hostility goes back to 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 24. Because the king of Assyria brought some people and settled them in Samaria. They became settlers, kind of removed Jews, and they were very angry with that. There was intermarriage. These foreigners had come from Babylon. It's on the screen. And you can see them. Those foreigners came, and they were settled in Samaria. The Jews were not happy about it. Over time, of course, there was intermarriage, and there was another group of people that came out of that intermarriage, and the Jews would always see them as second class. And as traitors or betrayers. And so they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And so when they were traveling, like from Galilee to Judea, like in the case in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, you know, verse 6 to 9, Jesus is coming from Judea, going to Galilee, but he decides, instead of crossing the Jordan and then go up, which is a long route, actually it was twice the length of the other route he chose, Jesus decided, I will go through Samaria. And I can imagine his council of disciples trying to advise him and say, we don't traditionally do this. It is not right. But Jesus, because he embraced love, he had made a decision to love. And that love included Samaritans. He said, we must go, we must pass through Samaria. And so they pass through Samaria. They come to the plot purchased by Jacob for his son Joseph. And there was a well there called Jacob's Well. And he stops there. It was midday. And Jesus is very tired. The disciples go into Sychar, the city, to buy lunch. And Jesus is left there. Then a woman who is socially ostracized. She has a stigma. This woman comes, it's very hot in the middle of the day, and she comes to the well. Jesus embraces love, and the kind of love Jesus has reaches everyone. If you are here, I want you to know that you can never be far enough where God's love cannot reach you, where the love of Christ cannot reach you. And by doing this, Jesus broke the boundaries that were there, dividing the Jew and the Samaritan. First, there was a gender division. Secondly, there was a cultural division. Thirdly, there was a religious division. The woman is standing there. Jesus is here embracing love. He's breaking every barrier. He is creating bridges and he's breaking every barrier to reach this woman. When he asks for water, the woman actually resorts to those differences. But that doesn't hold Jesus back, you know. He continues at reaching her. And that's how our love in our families should be, to our children, to our parents, to our siblings, in the workplace, everywhere we are, a love that keeps going and going and stays at it, embracing love, embracing love. And eventually, he was able to break through into the heart of this lady. And let me say, therefore, love is a decision. Love is a choice. Choose to love. It doesn't matter who you're dealing with. It doesn't matter where you are. Make a choice to love. That's what Jesus did. Love needs to be intentional. But secondly, sow it or plant it. Plant the seed of love. Not just simply embracing it, but doing something. Love is an action. Love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. Love is a verb. Love is tangible. Love is something you do. And in the text I read a little earlier from verse 4 to 8, and I'll be reading it in just a moment, Paul gives us about 15 attributes or action paths of love. You know, the tenets of love. And he gives us a template of love. It is the dipstick of love. It is the checklist of love. And he's telling the Corinthian church, this is how you love. And he gives those tenets. And this is what makes love powerful. Let me tell you, love is a weapon. Love is a strategy. Love is a sacrifice. And nothing can withstand love, especially when it's expressed like I'm reading now. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, there will cease. Where there are tongues, there will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Now, imagine love that carries those elements. Jesus standing with the Samaritan woman is releasing a love that carries these elements. God's love is unconditional. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, God shows his love for us, for me, in that while I was yet a sinner, or still a sinner, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why don't you give a hand clap to Jesus that he did this? Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. And so Jesus stands there, and the Samaritan woman is here. That is in John chapter 4, the same story of the Samaritan woman. He is not affected or distracted by her description, her social description, her marital description. Remember, she had 5 husbands. She was living with the 6th. In other words, the man she was living with was the 6th man. marriage, break, marriage, another one breaks like that. 6 marriages that failed. Now she's talking to the 7th man. And the story must end here. Hallelujah. The 7th man. I thank God, Pastor Humphreys, you shared about the number 7. Yes, and this year, the rest, the fulfillment. She finds her peace. If she finds her fulfillment, she finds her everything. This is just the one stop that she needed. And she's there with Jesus, who is not distracted by how she looks and the stories behind her life. He is there to sow a seed. He is there to make a difference. He is there to release love. Let me say, God has put Parklands Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya, so that we can release a seed of love in the city and cause an explosion in this city. Something dynamic, something beautiful, something wonderful. Men who are here, you are fathers. Now imagine, and we're talking with Deacon Wairagu a little earlier, and we said how difficult it is for men to say, I love you. And I agree. Especially Dr. Gakunju. No, I'm joking. It is there. And you know, this Valentine week, eh? And you can imagine now you are expected as a man. Kuja nyumbani, your children, I love you, I love you. Your wife, I love you. Ladies, I want you to understand, it's not easy for men. It's not that easy. But let me encourage Dr. Ndolo right there. And all my men brothers who are here in this congregation, it is possible, it is doable. Let us try to sow the seed of this powerful seed of love this week. Let us try. And go even further, not only say a word, but also buy something. Flowers like these ones are very good, they're very helpful. Oh, they are. Let's give a hand to the Lord. I see some people are supporting what I'm saying. So let's finish the flowers in the shops around here after this message. You just carry a bouquet like this. Can you imagine somebody showing up with flowers like this? Won't that brighten your world? You know, no wonder somebody said, the brightness of the light of a candle is not diminished. Yeah, by sharing its light with another candle. So if you have a candle, you can light up 100 candles, and that candle remains as bright as it was at the beginning. We can brighten our world. We can change the world. It is possible. The atmosphere, we can change it. And especially now, where there is so much deep darkness, Isaiah 60 verse 2, there's so much darkness around and even among the people. Somebody is just looking for this ray of love, you know, just a light, you know, of love. Darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. And this is the purpose, a church like this one, changing Nairobi, changing Africa, changing the world. Everybody talking about Parklands Baptist Church. Just because of love. And this is practical love. It is active love. It is love that is demonstrated. And so Jesus stands there and is pouring out his love through patience, through kindness, forgiving her, no record of wrong, like the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. And people are stoned, you know, wanted to stone her. And Jesus said, let him who has no sin throw the first stone. And indeed, people took off. And Jesus was left with her, and Jesus was not condemning her. Jesus was just loving her. Jesus released her from that prison where she was. And from there, because of love, she was a free woman. And Jesus stands there dealing with a woman. We have opportunities of the same. Give your presence, give your time, give your words. Right there to this woman, Jesus is giving everything. And men and women, let us do it. Let us be available. Let us say some words. And let us do something. So I was talking about the flowers. And we can also give other things. Now, Tuesday, I know, is Valentine. I don't know how you intend to do your Valentine. All kinds. It has been commercialized. So I know there are all these destinations, restaurants and hotels and all. They have prepared places, nice rooms with colors and everything. I don't know how you intend to go about it. But as I share from here, I'm saying love is practical. On that day also, remember to do something. You can buy chocolate. Sarit Center, let me just give you a bit of Pastor Ambrose. Uko Chini, Karibu na Naivas. There is a shop there. It has nice chocolate. And let me tell you, because I have girls, you know, my children, I have one son and four girls. This a day like that one, I don't joke, because that'd be, but I try and make it easy. I take the bar of chocolate that has squares, many squares, you can break them. You can, for easy distribution. So I get home, love the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know that the best Valentine is the one God gave to us. And that best Valentine is through his son, Jesus Christ. And that gift is a gift that is open, free. Anyone can receive it anytime. If you're not here, you're not born again, just by a simple prayer, you can receive the gift of eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can do it simply by acknowledging what he did on the cross. Acknowledge he did it for you. Ask him to forgive your sins. And then you become a child of God. And from that time, you become a new creation. The old goes, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and a new chapter begins in your life. So what Jesus is doing for the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he continues to do even now as I'm talking in this very service. So love is an action. It's a decision. It's also an action. And therefore, we need to sow it. The action is sowing action or planting action. You can visit somebody in hospital. There are so many different things. Orphans. We have orphans. We have children's homes. You can choose to pay school fees. Go find out somebody who has not finished paying their school fees. And you can actually go ahead and top it up. These are activities of love. But I quoted from the text and I say, love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep a record of wrongs. And I want to encourage us to take that template of love and occasionally once in a quarter, go somewhere, put a big paper with the 15 attributes of love and do an appraisal of love according to that template, the 15. Some people find 13, 14, 15, those are spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. You kneel down, lift your hands, and you pray, Holy Spirit, come into my life again. Re-energize my life for my son, for my daughter, for my extended family. And as I'm saying this, there is somebody here who has had a long-standing difference with a sibling, with a parent, or with a friend, with a boss, and it's been eating you up. As I say, love is an action. It is time to do something about it. It is time to do the Jacob Esau thing. Jacob at one point, had, you know, he offended Esau, or rather they worked with the mother, you know that story, and he went on, and then now he's coming back. And there is a conflict. Many of the long-standing conflicts in the world can be resolved, can be diffused through love. And he's coming back looking for his brother. He's so scared. But eventually, I'm telling you, in Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, there is a great reunion. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. This is a powerful picture. And somebody here has been estranged from another for a long time. God is saying this is time to diffuse that long-standing conflict. And this is time for the reconciliation to happen. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And so God wants us to pick the baton from scripture, make it rhema in our lives, begin to function in the realm of love, and activate what scripture says. We are ministers of reconciliation. And somebody, therefore, needs to connect with another person. Maybe travel to Mombasa, maybe to Eldoret to find them, Kisumu, maybe Nyeri, Muranga, Kajiado, Marsabe, anywhere in the country, quickly and soonest, because it will affect you more than it affects the other person. And this week, in your own way, just find a way of reaching out to them. And please find a way of using speaking those words. I love you. I know they are not easy, but especially if it's somebody who has you feel has offended you. But even if you stammer, stay at it. Dr. Ndolo, I'm not saying you stammer, Dr. Ndolo. Today I'm picking on you. Until you finish it all over the world. That is our objective. So you're reaching someone and you're saying, I love you. Jesus reaches a Samaritan woman. He is practical about it. God wants us to reach one another, be practical about it, and show love. You can show a smile and a handshake and just simply learn how to say, I love you. I will try this week to tell my children again, each one of them, I love you. You can even do a note if it's difficult, write, put on the bed and take off. Say, Daddy loves you. And you do a cartoon with a smile, and then you take off to the next room. You put one there. Yes, so when they're coming to sleep, Daddy was around, and Daddy said, I love you. The activities of love and the works of love are possible. But finally, of course, watertight. This is what leaves a legacy. A legacy. Love is eternal. 1 Corinthians 13:13. What does it say? These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. Love is eternal. And that is what makes love the greatest gift. In the hierarchy of gifts, the greatest is love. If you had everything else that anyone can have, houses, vehicles, paved roads, and all those kind of things, and there is no love, Paul is simply saying that is nothing. Let me tell you, a home without love is just a dry place. Yes, you find somebody living a big mansion to go and live in a small place where they're going to find love. And therefore, love is eternal. Love leaves a legacy. When Jesus ministers to the woman of Samaria, she leaves her water pot. She's transformed totally. She has found the living water and she's transformed. And she runs to Sychar. And there she lives. She makes a very big ministry. The whole town is led to Jesus. And because of the testimony of this woman, John 4 verse 39, because of her testimony, many people actually believed. And their lives were changed irreversibly. The legacy of love. Where love has passed through, it leaves footprints. And it leaves great marks. And stories are told and retold. Many years down the road. In fact, this church is part of the legacy of Christ's love. Every church in the world, every believer represents the legacy of love because Jesus loved me and loved you. He laid down his life. You continue to respond to that love through the cross. You come to the cross and you remember the love of God. You know, the mercy of God, the greatness of God. And you come, you kneel down, you lift up your hands and you say, I respond by giving my life over to you, my God, because you have loved me without any reservations. This is the God we have. And the legacy of love comes by consistency. Loving and loving, that is the watering of love. Loving and loving and loving again. Not just once and you take off. And then it's not demonstrated further. It is loving and loving and loving again. Apostle Paul, who is the apostle of love, has received love from above. He gives love to Timothy. And he consistently disciples Timothy. And helps shape the destiny of this young man. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things you've learned from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. You know, entrust to other people who can entrust to others. The legacy of love. And therefore, Timothy epitomizes the legacy of love. And everywhere you mention Paul, you must see Timothy. And where you mention Timothy, you must see Paul. And therefore, even in the eulogy of Paul, I'm sure they did record that this guy reached out to Timothy in his lifetime, and Timothy is alive here standing by the grave, and this is a testimony that this guy lived. This is a testimony that this guy loved, and this is a testimony that this guy actually made a difference. And so my prayer for us is that in the homes, because those are platforms, in the family God has put you in, your workplace, and everywhere else God has put you, that you shall turn that around to become a place of ministry, and that you shall sow this seed. I'm talking about the empowered seed of love. And if you're going to leave a great legacy, then it is through love. Let's love one another. Abraham loved Sarah, and then they got children. Isaac, you know, the other one from Hagar went the other way, Ishmael. And through Isaac now loved Rebecca, the wife. And they were really close. They loved each other. The covenant is carried through platforms of love. Abraham and Sarah, there is Isaac and Rebecca. You have Jacob there, and you have the others. But we have a covenant of love that is revisited, refreshed, and carried forward the momentum of love from one generation until Jesus Christ, who consummates it and ends up on the cross, and he gives his all. In fact, the greatest demonstration of love we have is Jesus on the cross. But he did not remain there forever. He died, he was buried, and he rose again, and today he is alive. When you love consistently and you love again and again, there is no child who is able to withstand that kind of love. There is no man, husband or wife or workmate or boss who is able to withstand the onslaught of love. And even the problems we have now in Ukraine and Russia, love changes, diffuses that. I thank God for what people are doing right now in Turkey. And you can see a demonstration of love there. It's a very cold place right now. And over 20,000 people have died. There's so much rubble. And there are still, I believe, some people alive under the rubble. But it's been interesting to watch what those guys have been doing. And the one that really caught my attention was this boy who was retrieved from the rubble. And these guys worked consistently. They worked consistently at it, removing the rubble, the tumors, you know, and eventually one guy stretched a hand, managed to get the boy. Can you imagine that connection of love, that link of love? And there are so many people today in the world who are waiting for that touch of love. And then he's redeemed, he's brought out by that hand. And as he's coming out with all the dust on him, this guy embraces him, passes it on to another one. And there are so many people, this boy is being passed from this one to that one to that one, up to the place where he gets Medicare. We have a world where people feel forgotten. They feel they have been left under the rubble. And they are staying in their... planet throughout, feeling very, very lonely, feeling very, very unwanted. That grants us a great opportunity to sow this empowered seed of love. And therefore, motivated and compelled by love, like the Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. We have opportunities everywhere. Between tomorrow and this coming Sunday, we have opportunities everywhere to demonstrate this kind of love. Are you feeling lonely, alone, forgotten, and left out? I want you to know that God loves you. But also, dare I say, the person next to you actually loves you. In your house, and even if you are alone in that room, and you are following what I'm saying, I want you to know that God really loves you. God's presence is actually there. There was one time, my little daughter, the one who finished Form 4, just the other day from Kenya High, she was left somewhere. We were in Mombasa this week, and I was having a family retreat with my children. And so we have these moments where we gather, and we talk, and we catch up, see how everyone is doing. And this particular moment comes, and we are around this round table, and this little daughter of mine points at the sister and the other sister and says, "Daddy, you know, they forgot me at Westgate when I was small." Imagine, the girl, she's big now, and talking about when she was small, that one Sunday, it was a Sunday, they went to Westgate. And then they left her there. They forgot her there. And they went. And this girl was running all over. She has never forgotten. She has never. But finally, they found out the one with her. They went back there and actually found my little daughter. There are people like that, many like that. They feel like the world has moved on. In the neighborhood where you live, it's like everybody is happy and merry and has moved on. You go to your gate, you're looking through your window, everybody has moved on. The world has moved on. And you feel so alone, so lonely, so forgotten. I want you to know that God loves you. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? God loves you. God loves you and God cares. The young people of today are growing in a very difficult world. Our young people, our youth, their world is so, so difficult. And it is so complicated. They have to choose from 100 things. It is very, very confusing. And the world is offering so much. And the guidance is minimal. And it's very difficult for them. I want to say to the young people of Africa, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God is coming through. God will show you the way. But all of us who are near these young people, let us step out and begin to say something to them. Because they're looking for someone who can hold their hands. They're called mentors and they're called coaches. Be that mentor, be that coach. Hold their hand. Lead them to the next level. You will leave a legacy. That is how legacies are built. This week, think about a person, two people, three people. Invite them into your house. Give them dinner. Say that you love them. Get a small gift, not necessarily flowers, something. My brothers, buy a shirt. Yeah? Yes, buy a shirt for somebody. Are we agreeing? Yeah, buy a shirt, eh? For somebody. You know their size. They'll be shocked, especially when you have checked. Pastor Ambrose, there's a couple here who bought me a pair of shoes. And you know what they told me? I don't know if they're in the service right now. They would check me when I'm preaching. And they would keep sizing the shoe. They go home, they discuss, and then they got me a pair. They brought it. They did not tell me they had done that. It's when I wore and fitted so well. I said, you guys, how did you get my shoe right? Yeah? They said, we did our homework. In the church, you'd keep checking your size of shoe, and they got it right. So imagine you get a right shirt for somebody, and you just give them, and it fits so well. I'm telling you, that is a powerful message. And ladies who are here, the same. The children, if you buy something for, and young people, sometimes you wonder, can I do anything for daddy? Buy socks. Let me tell you, socks are a treasure. The men who are here will agree with me. We assume a lot. If you check many of the socks here, they have holes. They are a treasure. Buy your daddy socks. Yeah? Buy a belt. Buy your mom what? What is that? A handkerchief, eh? No, a handbag. Yes. Buy her a handbag. You will be amazed. She'll be carrying it everywhere. It doesn't matter how it looks. It's come from my daughter. It's come from my son. This bag here is very special. So today, I want us to... This is the I love you sermon. I want you to go out and be filled with the words, I love you. Embrace love. Sow the seed of love. Water that seed of love. Be filled with those words, I love you. When you go home to your wife, I love you. In fact, if she's not here, she will wonder what is happening. There's a revival. To your husband, I love you. To your children, I love you. Everywhere, let us say, I love you. Can you turn to the person next to you once again and just say, I love you. Mean it from your heart. Hallelujah. How does it sound? Yeah? Somebody is saying, preachers make us. But what is God saying? God is simply saying, let us say to each other, I love you. Let's all stand up. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that we can raise the altar of love. And my God, even as we raise it this month of empowered seed, we are conscious that love is an empowered seed. And Father, as we raise this altar, we also take the challenge to love. The same way you decided to love us, we are taking up that challenge. And God, we want to walk with this challenge through this month. Thank you, my God, because love is possible anywhere, everywhere, anytime. And that love is doable. My God, I bless you that this week, the whole seed of love will be planted in our homes, in our workplaces, in our streets, in the supermarkets. The seeds of love will be planted all over. My God, today by this prayer we declare that we shall seed the world with love. My Father, now empower us, because we know in our own strength we cannot do it. Empower us with the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is this, that God, you release your Holy Spirit upon us without measure, the Spirit who makes love possible. That where it was difficult, even that person who has offended us the most, we shall be quick, we shall find it easy to express this love. And therefore, Holy Spirit, come upon us afresh. Holy Spirit, come upon our lives afresh. And Holy Spirit, become love through us. And here we are as a congregation, ready to go out there and sow, plant the seeds of love as well as water them. You are here and there is an issue that has bothered your life for years because of somebody who has come in your way over and over again, and it's been very difficult. I join you in praying for that person, and I join you in praying for that person and their change of heart. But let's pray for ourselves too, that we would also take the initiative like Jesus took the initiative with the Samaritan woman. And if you are here and there have been barriers and obstructions upon the path of your expressing love to somebody, today I declare they are lifted. You can choose to love that person, and by faith you can express it by raising your hand and putting it down. I know God will see it. It's an act of faith, and somebody needs to reach to somebody else with love. It's been a difficult story, a difficult case, very difficult. God understands it, but a step of faith allows the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life. So just raise your hand and put it down. God will see it. My God, I thank you for those hands that have been raised upstairs, downstairs, pavilion, and also online. And God, I know that you work with faith. Because of this faith that has been expressed this way, God, come through in this area, in this relationship, whatever it is. God, come through, turn it into a testimony. It has been a test for a long time, but now it's turning into a testimony. And therefore, Lord, I'm praying now for the harvest of the seed, of the empowered seed of love. And I'm praying a mighty harvest, the kind of harvest that the Samaritan woman brought from Sychar, simply because Jesus sowed the seed of love in her, and she became a channel of love to a city, and that city was brought to Jesus Christ. My God, I'm praying for the harvest that comes to those who go planting the seed, empowered seed of love. And coming week and the other weeks, my God, I pray that this harvest leads to reconciliation, to healing, to restoration, to people who don't come to church, come to church. They had given up on church, saying they're hypocrites. They don't love, they don't care, they pretend. That God, there'll be a harvest in all areas and sectors, and people will come running to you. And even as we express this, I pray for an explosion of love, that the city of Nairobi will know that they are disciples of Jesus Christ in Nairobi, that Kenya will know that they are disciples of Jesus Christ in Kenya, and that Africa will get a revival of love. And because of this, the orphans will be taken care of. The street children will be taken care of. The widows, the widowers will be taken care of. All the needy pockets will be attended to. and there will be an overflow in the storehouses and the banks where things are kept to help the needy. And that God, no one will sleep hungry, or no one will sleep without a shelter, or no one will sleep without clothing, a revival of love. And therefore, Lord, thank you so much for what you've shared. And now, again, I commission the words, I love you. I do so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all say?
Amen.
We all say?
Amen.
A hand clap to Jesus. He deserves it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are blessed on Monday. You are blessed on Tuesday. You are blessed on Wednesday. You are blessed on Thursday. Blessed on Friday. Blessed on Saturday. Blessed next Sunday. I want you to know that your body is blessed. Your work is blessed. Your children are blessed. Your house is blessed. Your going in is blessed. And your going out is blessed. Your resources are blessed. Everything about you is blessed according to Ephesians 1:3. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we all say,
amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.